Levine. And I am the managing partner at Jack Levine CPAs, a firm that was founded by my father in 1984. I am fortunate to run the firm alongside my father and a team of exceptional accountants. From our unique vantage point of being heavily involved in MOSOs and from businesses at the same time, by offering boutique tax and advisory services, we have seen the exponential growth of South Florida, and we are poised to continue to support that growth. This is the second year of H3 in South Florida. Now, I can honestly say, as someone who was initially a skeptic, I'm amazed again. I underestimated South Florida, and I underestimated H3's impact. South Florida has truly arrived on the total map. As someone who was born and raised here, I have always known that we were a destination place, but generally not for such causes. But like in politics, where Florida has turned to the right, so too in Yiddishkeit, South Florida has been moving to the right. Just looking around, hundreds of Alabatim paying hundreds of dollars, and all to be introspective of ourselves, grow in Yiddishkeit, and to ensure that what we inevitably spend most of our day doing is being done correctly. The topic of this session is knowledge is power, the where and how of running a business al pi halacha. As from Jews, much of our life is showcased publicly. We live in the same communities, daven in the same places, our kids go to the same schools, and we shop in the same stores. But in our business, we are often the only ones to truly see what's going on behind the scenes. Without the communal exposure and support that we might have in other areas of our lives, it can sometimes be challenging to hold ourselves to the same high standards we set up outside of work. And therefore, this gathering is one of chizik to help us determine what is asur and what is mutter, what is right and wrong, and what brings bracha and makes us the Amma Nivkar. Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky told over a story in one of the question-answer panels at the Agudah convention a few years ago. There was an average learning in Bnei Brak with a large family and not such a large bank account. One of the frequent election cycles that happens monthly in Eretz Yisrael was occurring, and he was offered 2,000 shekels to assist by one of the voting booths for the day. He jumped at the opportunity to make some money during Ben Hazman and signed up for the job. He got assigned a booth in another town, and when he was getting closer to the location, he realized that the job was located in a part of town that was not so appropriate to be in. It was then that the internal battle took place. On one hand, he really needed the money, especially with Yom Tov coming up. But on the other hand, was it worth compromising on his values? After some time thinking, he decided to turn around and got back on the bus and gave up on the easy 2,000 shekel to go home. And says Rabbi Lapiansky, it was on the bus that he looked and found it. And no, 2,000 shekel was not found on the floor. He found himself. He realized that he has the ability and that he has been control, even if it means sacrificing immediate financial gain. We are zocha to hear from two of the leading poskim in South Florida. Rabbi David Shomi, who serves as the Rosh Kol of Kol Choshen Mishpah, and the Av Bezin for the Bezin of South Florida. Rabbi Shomi has been servicing the community for over a decade with integrity and dedication for what is generally a thankless job. Rabbi Yaakov Svi Gledger, who is the Rosh Kol of North Miami Beach, one of the largest Torah centers south of Lakewood. In addition to a thousand other things Rabbi Gledger runs, the Kola started a halacha initiative to spread shiurim about business halacha and educating the community. On a personal note, I am zocha to call Rabbi Gledger my Rav and my pre-shachris chavrusa for the last 8 years. And on that note, I'd like to call Rabbi Gledger.
Okay. Thank you, Shimi, for that introduction, and Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Sholem of Beis Din. It's a big cover to be able to speak once again on this panel with him. And I really honor and respect everything that Rabbi Sholem has been doing and continues to do for the community. Just about that early morning parousa, sometimes I was thinking to myself that sometimes right away in the morning, we squeeze in maybe 15 minutes. Some of that is learning, and we squeeze in 15 minutes, and sometimes it's only 10 minutes. But it's a big effort to wake up, and you know, but is it just about the 10 minutes? And I was just thinking that after hearing the drushas and the chizuk from throughout the day, that alone, that a person could start the day off with a little bit of learning in the base matters, they're kaveh themselves, and then they come back in at night to be kaveh themselves. That itself establishes one's das and establishes their relationship with Torah and what the relationship with work is the rest of the day. So never get discouraged if it's a few minutes here that you're or there that you're grabbing, but it's really establishing and directing the rest of your day. And you know, it's very important. So I appreciate that chavrusa and that zchus to spend that time with Shimi. So picking up on what he said, that one of our biggest nisyonis that we have are nisyonis. What is the biggest nisyon in the Torah that we have as an example of? The biggest nisyon in the Torah is the nisyon of Yosef HaTzadik. And why was that considered the biggest nisyon? Yes, it was a big temptation, but the nekuda, why it was considered the biggest nisyon, is because there was nobody that would know, and nobody that would care, and nobody that would find out. The house is empty, he's in Mitzrayim, no one knows where he is, his whole family doesn't know where he is, and no one's gonna know the difference. And the only thing that can hold him to it is Yir Shemayim, is Bitachon, is understanding the truth and finding it within himself. And that type of nisoyon is what, as Shimi mentioned, is something that everybody really goes through when you're running a business. I could fudge a number here and there, I could do something in a way that really, I'm the only one that really knows if this is true, if this is accurate, if this is the way it really is. And when a person can find it within themselves to overcome that nisoyon, then what happens? They feel good about themselves, but what else happens? So we're entering into the days of Pesach. The days of Pesach culminate, obviously, with the Shvi'i Shel Pesach and Kriyas Yam Suf and the ability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make nisim. To whom and for whom does Hashem make nisim? So the Gemara says, the Medrash, it says, Hayam ra'a vayonois. Ma ra'a, what did Hayam see? Ra'a roinois shel Yosef. It saw the Aron of Yosef. Shenemar vayonos v'yetzei achutza. What is the shaykhis between the Aronos shel Yosef, that Yosef HaTzadik ran out of the room to avoid that temptation? What is the shaykhis between that and the Kriyas Yam Suf? So it's again quoting Rav Aaron Lapiansky or Shiva, or Rebbe, so he said that the nisoyon of Yosef was l'mal min ha-teva. It was something that, because of what we said earlier, it was impossible to find it within himself, that strength to do it. So how did he do it? It was l'mal min ha-teva. It wasn't no other person would be able to find it within themselves. It was only the koach of reaching l'mal min ha-teva that he was able to do it. When we do l'mal min ha-teva, Hashem does l'mal min ha-teva back for us. And then we're zoichet to the nisim, we're zoichet to that siyata d'shmaya. And it may not be the nisayon of Yosef and getting Kriyas Yam Suf. So I said this over last night somewhere, so they said, well, do we see miracles and this and that? What are you talking, you know? And so I said, very simple, you have a business and you have a big nisayon coming up. Are you gonna keep your business open Chol HaMoed, or are you not gonna keep your business open Chol HaMoed? It's a very simple nisayon. And if you can do what the halacha demands of you, which is not this year, it's not about that subject, but if you can do what the halacha demands of you, and you find it within yourself to do it, you'll be zochet to siyata d'shmaya. And that's what we're talking about. So the subject that I wanted to discuss a little bit is the subject of Genevas Das. Now, it was discussed a lot in passing and somewhat detailed throughout the day. And I want to take a few minutes to discuss the yisoidus of the sugya, and then give some examples. Now, the problem with examples is that whenever you give examples about something, so for a third of the people in the room, they're gonna, it's obvious that it's a problem. It's obvious, right? You're not being mechadish anything. For a third of the people in the room, it's not even true. So I'm only saying a chiddush for a third of the people, at best. So, tein lechacham v'yachkam oid. We'll try to give enough examples that speak to everybody, and the point is ultimately to be ma'ir oneself and to give ourselves the chizak to realize that there's many areas that we may not realize as flat out gnevas, obviously, but we may not realize the more delicate areas and the more sensitive areas that we can maybe push ourselves and our business to steigen a little bit. So the Gemara in Chulin that says that it's also to be going of daitan shel briyas, if you daitan shel akum. Gnevas das is awesome. Gnevas das means that you're fooling someone to get something which you don't have the right to have. Now, in Gnevas das, there's two opinions in the Rishonim. The Rambam and Rabbi Yonah say it's like an aver of sheker. It's like lying, it's being dishonest. It comes from dishonesty, which means it's really being adam la'atzmai. It's just you're being dishonest. According to others, the Smag, the Yireim, and others, the Ritva and Chulin, say that it's Gneva Mamish. It's just not Gneva's moment, but it's Gneva's Das, and it's included in the Isser of stealing. Now, there's a lot of examples given in a non-business setting. You know, I went to someone's, I have this neighbor that moved into town, and it's really awkward that we never invited them for a Suda, we never invited them for a meal, and, you know, I'm not really interested in inviting them, what should I do? Oh, I found out that they're going away for Pesach. Perfect time to invite them over. So we invite them over and we go eat, right? So there's a lot of cases in a non-business setting that there's possibilities of Gnevas Das. But we're going to focus on Gnevas Das in areas that focus in business. And these, according to those Rishonim, Sefer Kovitz in the back of the Rambam says, Tanisa de Raisa of Gneva, if a person benefits monetarily from these types of Gneva's Das. So, we'll start off with some cases that don't sound like directly a monetary gain, but you're fooling someone. The very first simple case is where you give someone the feeling that they're getting a good deal, where in fact they're not getting a good deal. They're getting a fair deal. So you come in, you're a salesman, someone comes in, someone's talking to you about a deal, and you say, listen, I would never do this for anyone, I can't give this price, but for you, I could give it, or whatever, right? So you're getting, most people, that's why I said, some people in the room will say, well, that's how you do business. And the point is that if a person's giving someone the impression that they're getting a good deal, when they're not really getting a good deal, there's no Gnevas Mammon there, necessarily, but there is Gnevas Das, because they're walking away thinking that they got a good deal, when they really didn't. A person puts a store, may put something on sale. Buy one, get one free. The week before they put it on sale, everything goes up 75%. So now you walk in, it's not really buy one, get one free, because the price has just doubled before the week was over. So now there's no stealing going on. Everyone's walking in. They have it on the table. They see the pricing, and you're charging them whatever the price is. So there's no Gneva. But there's Gneva's Das, because you pull it for two reasons. Number one is they think they're getting a good deal, but they're not. But then there's another Chiddush here. And this is a Chiddush from in the Dibros Moshe in Bamitzia, Simon Nun Dalet. He says the following Chiddush. Based on the mission, it's really basically an open Mishnah, but he says it la'alacha. If someone does some sort of false advertising, so what happens is that you say that there's a certain item in my store, there's a certain service that we provide, and if you do this service, we give windows we'll give a free windows, we'll upgrade your windows to your house. So you're providing the service. In reality, those windows that you're going to provide to their house are not suited for this person. They're not really suited for anybody's house. And it's not really shyish to install those windows. But now that you're there, you say, well, those windows don't work for you, but I have got a lot of other things going on. And you've gotten to the door, and now that he's with you, you can sell the product that you really want. Or you say, there's a sale item for sale on shirts. Sale on shirts, $15. You come in, there's only one or two that are available. But once they come into the store, now they're gonna do shopping with you, right? So Rav Moshe says that this gnevas das on making a person feel the need to shop by you, bringing them in, luring them into your store, that itself is gnevas das. Because now that they're by you, they're gonna shop by you, although they didn't really want to come to you in the first place. But you kind of falsely lured them into your store and brought them in, and then at that point, they're shopping. So there's no Ganeva's moment there, but there is Ganeva's das. That's what Moshe's Chiddush based on the Mishnah. But where is this really Nogea? Many of us don't have retail stores and stuff like that. Where is this Nogea? So take, for example, a contractor. So you call a contractor down to your house, and you ask him put a bid on the project. So he purposely lowballs the bid. He purposely lowballs it, and he says, "We can get this done for $100,000." Now, in reality, there's no way, unless a really strange circumstance, there's no way he can do it for $100,000. So what is going to happen? The first time there's a change order. Oh yeah, we have to change the gas line. It's not exactly where it has to be. All of a sudden, that change order is $25,000, so he's back to his $125,000. Then within minutes, he's back to his $150,000 that he needs to be, but he already got the contract. So you are not overcharging him. You're at the price that you want to be, but you lowball them to get him to choose you. So that's gnevas das, according to Moshe. You have no right to have that contract. Let's go the other way. Let's say you take a broker. So you have a broker that tells you that you put your house, you know, he hears that your house is, you know, you're interesting, you're moving, you're looking for someone to sell you, you're looking to sell your house. So he comes to you and says, that I could get you 1.5 for your house, no problem. Okay, this broker's pretty confident, he can get me 1.5, sure, I want to go with him. He comes in a little bit later and says, you know, the bids are coming in, slow, the market slowed down, I don't think we could do the 1.5, but he gets you whatever he can get you. So you've made the person feel that they're getting a good deal. You made the person feel confident with you, but it's not realistic in the first place. So that itself is in a scenario of gnevas das, where there's gnevas das, but there's not necessarily any gnevas moment involved. But that gnevas das itself is in the deraisa, like we said. Now, there's a big nafkamina if it's alt sheker or it's alt gneva. If it's alt sheker, then you have to do tshuva. But it's not about the other person. But if it's gneva, then there's real mechila you have to ask from the other person. That means not just that you did sheker, it's that you did something to them. You took something from them. You took away their right to choose who to use. Or you made them feel a certain deception. You deceived them. You took away their das or their freedom to choose what they really wanted. So you may have to ask mechila from that person and come back and say, I'm sorry, I did this, I didn't really, it wasn't right what I did. So there could be a big nafkumina in understanding what is the nature of the Isser. So 3 days ago, within the last week, I saw somebody and he says to me, I don't think I'm going to the H Street. So why not? So he says, I'm not gonna hear any chidushim over there. So I said, okay, I mean, first of all, yechizak, whatever. So he says, I see you're speaking, what are you speaking about? So I said, okay, gnevas das. I heard all about gnevas das already. So I said, okay. So he said, you give me an example of what you're saying. So I said that when you have a product, in order to pump up your product, to make it more sellable online or whatever, you have to have reviews. So you have people within your own company providing those customer reviews, those consumer reviews on your own service or on your own product that you provide. Or on certain places where you need to purchase something in order to give a review, you have your neighbor purchase it, they put the review on, and then they give it back to you and you could resell it. But they never really used it. So can you do that? So he says, of course you could do that. I mean, everything they're saying is 100% right. We provide great service, it's a great item, it's everything that we're saying is true. I said, yeah, but it doesn't say owner review, it says consumer review. They don't want to hear what the owner thinks about it, they want to hear what other people think about it. So he says, really? Let me see. Pulls it up, and he says, yeah, it does say consumer review. He says, oh, I guess I have to take down the last 10 reviews I just put up. I don't know if he's here tonight, but that's a very simple example of Gnevas Das that maybe people may not think of. Now, there's one other example along these lines, and this is a more simple example. People may, it's really davar pashut, but you're looking for a service in your own business or in your own home. And let's say, for example, you own a nursing home and you need somebody to provide some of the paper stuff, some of a certain vendor you need. And you have a nephew who's opening up that particular industry and he needs to get business and you want to give him the business. So you're going to give your nephew the business of your nursing home, he's going to be the vendor. But he says, I'll match any price, I want to get the job. And you're going to give him the job. So you call up another vendor, let's just say it's to sell linens or something. So you call up another vendor, you say, how much does it cost to furnish my nursing home? He comes in, provide them whatever, it's this and this per month. And you call back your nephew and you say, okay, it's this and this per month. Can you match that? The nephew does it, and now the nephew got his first job. So where do you leave the other guy that you called? The other vendor, what does he think now? You have to call him back and say, well, what happened with my bid? So what does that vendor say? What do you tell him? You say, well, you know, you came in a little too high. Or you just say, we're not going with you. What does he think to himself? So this is Gnevas Das. This is, no, it's Dvarim actually, but this is awesome. Why? Because you never intended to use that second vendor to begin with. But you took his time to come down, for sure. You took his time to give you an estimate, to give you a quote. And you never intended to use him in the first place. So it's definitely a Nas Dvarim, and maybe Gnevas Das. However, it could be even worse. Because the Meiri says, very simple cheshbon, Meiri says, what does this guy think to himself, this vendor? He thinks to himself, maybe I'm too expensive. Maybe maybe the reason he didn't go with me is because I told him the number was $10,000. If I would have come in at nine and a half, he would have gone with me. And that's my problem. I'm coming in too expensive. The next time someone calls him, he's going to want to put in a bid for 9.5. So you now were mafshid him $500. Because you never intended to use him in the first place. And obviously this is ma'aseh b'chol yom with people that price out their houses and say, you know, how much would you pay? Put it on the market. But really, the buyer has no chance of getting it because the person's not planning on selling. But the buyer now thinks, well, I can't get houses for that price, so now the buyer's going to have to spend more money on the next house they look at. So a person using other people, either vendors or consumers, to price themselves out, and they never have any intention to use it, is definitely a nice dvarim. Gnevas Das, and that borders in between these two areas of Gnevas Das, where there's not necessarily any monetary loss, but there's Gnevas Das. What? Who's asking? Oh, does any of this matter? So the Gemara says that asur lignav of daitan shel brias afir shel hakom. So the Gemara says pretty explicitly that that's true. Now, where that comes in is that there's a sugya called tos akum, was mentioned here earlier by Rabbi Cohen, I think. Tos akum is mutter. Tos akum is when a person receives something inadvertently from a guy, they're allowed to keep it. So that's a very, that's a heter by an akum, where a person basically got something which was a toys, they gave it to you, and you have it already. So you're not mechuyev, unless there's the chil Hashem aspect, the kiddush Hashem aspect, you're not mechuyev to give that back. But once you brought that up, I will just segue into the next few halachas before going to Rishon. Is that there is a category of tois akum which is also, which is mate akum. Mate akum is when you're actively involved in making the goy make that error. And by doing that, you are taking something that you don't deserve. And there's a lot of cases that sound like tois akum, but really end up being mate akum. when you're actively involved in making the goy make that error. So someone just gave me an example that any such example where you're using someone else's zchus in a store. So whether it's you're using someone else's Costco membership, or you're using, and you don't have the membership, but you're going to use your neighbor's card to go to the store because they don't ask for ID anymore. Or you have a contractor that has a Home Depot card that he gets his 15% off on as a contractor, and you say, hey, I want to, can you buy me extra stuff or I'll use your account? Or if you go into, let's say, a park, or you go skiing, right? You go to a park or something like that, where someone else has a year-round membership, and they're not going now. They're not going to Orlando right now for Pesach Lomai. And they're not, they're not headed there. But Lomaisa, they were there during winter break. So they have their family membership for the year. So can I go use their family membership? And though it's obviously, well, you could say, well, look, they could ask for ID at the desk. They don't ask for ID, and it says the family name on it. It's not my problem, it's their problem, right? They're letting me in. No, obviously this is Mata Akum. And if you want to just be sure, you could use this rule of thumb. If you would go to the customer service and ask them, is this okay? Is this okay? It's my neighbor's card, it's not my card. They're not here now, can I use it? Very simple. What would they say? So if you don't want to disclose what you're doing, that's a very good simon to know that what you're doing is probably not right. And that's a probably good enough simon that we could probably stop right now. And I think most of the cases that we would talk about would be addressed with that yisoid. If you're not willing to disclose it, that might be a good enough reason to realize it's a problem. There's one case I heard from Dov Khan from Lakewood. So he said a very simple case. When you hire somebody to give you advice, they need to have your best interest in mind. He gave a shiur for us, and he mentioned a common scenario of kickbacks, where a person is giving you advice, and they're providing you access to certain vendors or to certain services. And his example, very simple, there's insurance cases, there's mortgage cases, there's interior decorators he was discussing, where you're asking them for a service, they're gonna provide you the service, they're gonna bring you, let's say, a certain tile or a certain furnishing, but they're getting a kickback from that store. They're getting a kickback from that store that they're bringing to you. So in that circumstance, they're compromising their objectivity. So they're probably just bringing you that because that's the best store for them, and it may not be the best store for you. So when you're covering that over and you don't want to tell your consumer, hey, I'm getting a kickback from that store, that may be a good enough reason to say, well, that's a problem. Kahina v'kahina, like I said, giving examples may just be more of the people. Maybe some of the examples are obvious. Maybe some of them you may think are not true. But the idea is that every scenario, there's an assayan. No one knows the difference, but we know the difference. And if we could pick ourselves up from that lamal min ateva and find it within ourselves to be a min assayan, then we are zoyfet to that. There's always kedai to mention that besides the siyata d'shmaya ubi zoyfet, there's a mafurish Rambam that the Rambam says that it was actually mentioned, part of the Rambam was mentioned by Rav Gober earlier, that the Rambam says in the end of Schiris, he says that Yaakov HaTzadik was very honest with Lavan, and because he was honest with Lavan, notal schar zois af ba'olam hazeh, he was notal his schar even in olam hazeh. So Rambam's asking a question. What did Yaakov Avinu do to become wealthy? That's the Rambam's question. Do we know what Yaakov Avinu did to become wealthy? Does it say it anywhere? So the Rambam says, because he was honest. He was an honest worker, that's why he became wealthy. And I was always wondering, what is the makar of this Rambam? I found this week, in this week's Daf Yomi, that the Maharsha says the exact same thing as the Rambam. There's a Gemara, Daf Tzadiches, in Sanhedrin, that it says, Amar Rav, Amar Reish Av Amin, Aleka Kushta Bama. I thought nobody's honest anymore. Amar Liyahu Merabana. So one Rav told me, no, Rav Tavas, there's a person called Rav Tavas And he said the following, you give me all the money in the world, I will not even change one iota of my words. That's what Rav Tava said. So the Marsha says, what is Rav Tava saying? Even if you give me all the money in the world, I will not be Mashana Mitiburoi. What's he saying? Zakt the Marsha, the same as the Rambam. Because when a person's honest, they're going to be like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was zoicha to nachlo b'limitzar. He was not zoicha to all the money in the world. So Rav Tava says, why should I lie to get all the money in the world? I could be honest and get all the money in the world. So Marsha says word for word the Rambam. Unbelievable. That a person doesn't have to find kumsin, doesn't have to trick and take things into their own hand. A person does it with bitachon, a person does it with shtas, and does the right thing. They're going to be zoicha to that bracha of the Rambam. And it says clearly that a person can be zoicha to that. And as we come to the month of Nisan, which is the Chodesh of Geula, and we're looking for Zechusim to bring the Geula to get out of the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael, I just want to say over a smag from the Rishonim that Rameir Stern said over once. And the smag says the following. He says, he says that there was those that were goyla from Yerushalayim and they're now found in Spain and Sfarad, and I gave them a drosh and I told them, Ulashar Golios Eden, to all the people in the Golos, Kiata, now, Sheherich HaGolos Yoyser Midai, we're in the Golos for too long and we're looking for a way out. Yesh li Yisrael Havdil Mahavle Oilom, we have to be careful in how we treat the world. Velechos B'chaisomoy Shalakadosh Baruch Hushuem, it's the one schus that we could have. Is that we have to maintain emes to the highest degree, v'shaloi l'shaker, and never to lie and stretch the truth, loy l'Yisrael v'loy l'goy, for that to that point, not to a yid and not to a goy, and this will bring v'loy l'hatvaisam b'shuminin and not to fool them in any way. U'lekadesh atzmoy af b'mutalach, and b'mekadesh atzmoy af b'mutalach. We know that famous Ramban. How do you become a kadosh? You don't want to be a noble b'rishas haTorah. Even the Dinei Mamonis is like that. The Kaddish Atzmai B'Mutar Lohem. And then he says the following. Why? Kishi Yavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lohi Shiyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want, he wants to bring Mashiach. And what's the purpose of Mashiach? To make a Kiddush Hashem. So he's going to come and he's going to choose a people that he's going to take these people and he's going to say, this is my nation. What's everyone else going to say? Zokt the Smak. If we lie and we cheat and we don't have the reputation that we're supposed to have, then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Mashiach, the Umas HaOlam are going to say, that's going to bring a Kiddush Shemayim when Hashem comes publicly and brings Mashiach and he chooses us, and he's going to say, the people of the world are going to say, this is his people, he chose Ganovim V'Ramoyim. So how can we bring Mashiach? But if he says, if they're honest, he chose the right people. These are honest people. These are Yashar people. These are people who live with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then Hashem can bring Mashiach. Hashem can't bring Mashiach until we're honest. Until we are going to be a Kiddush Hashem in front of everybody. Now when Hashem chooses us to be his people, the people say, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. They're the people of God. They're the people of Kadosh Baruch Hu. We want to bring Mashiach. Then the greatest chus that we could have is to continue shagging in this way, continue joining these types of asifas, which are the Shiv Shemayim, to help people grow, to help people understand what their responsibility as a Ventura in their businesses. And then when Hashem will bring Mashiach, that will bring a kid Hashem, Yom B'din Asa, Ki Manchi Emes, and that's the greatest discourse that we could have. Thank you for listening, and it's a cover to Rabbi Mashiach.
Probably bless you. Just whether it's appropriate behavior in Shatum, it only implies in Chayesh and Mishpat. There's a story of an Amoritz that came home and his wife was in a very agitated state. He poured milk into the chicken soup. So he said, no problem, Taisakum is mutter. First and foremost, I want to thank the Chicago group for having this.